And good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, June the 20th, 2017, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the day before the first day of summer, tomorrow, June 21st, the first day of summer, and also the day with the most daylight hours. So tomorrow, the summer solstice, first day of summer, enjoy it. And today looks beautiful. And I hope everybody got a chance last night to go out and enjoy that tremendous rainbow, double rainbow last night after the big storm that came in last night. So it's a great time, just a great season. Summer getting ready to kick off, and we've got the warm weather so everybody can go to the pools. But, you know, it's not just hot. When it comes to weather, it's hot all over the place. It's hot in Washington, and it's hot in the sports world. Because something interesting has happened. Floyd Mayweather has inked a deal, signed the contract to meet MMA fighter Conor McGregor on August 26th in Las Vegas with a huge amount of money on the line for this fight. Some people say McGregor will be knocked out in the third round. Some people say he could win the fight. I don't know. But there is one man who can give us some advice on this. There is a man who can also talk about the things going on in the world of politics, if we get to that in this hour. He is a many-time guest of this program. Always love to hear his voice and his take. And this first subject is right up his alley, with more than 50 years, a half century, covering the sports world. You probably remember him best on HBO as a boxing analyst, the best there ever was, the legendary Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. Thank you for that introduction. And I think the term hot as in hot air is well used with this mismatch of a fight or whatever it will be between Mayweather and McGregor. My first thought when I saw that it was being made, which is no big surprise since it apparently was going to generate a lot of money, is P.T. Barnum. A sucker is born every day. And it applies to this event as it is applied to many other freak show events.
You know, Larry, went out this, before it was penned, when I heard the rumblings that they were trying to together, the first thing that I thought of was Muhammad Ali versus Antonio Inoki, boxer versus wrestler, which was a clear publicity stunt that got huge attention in both worlds. Is this similar to that in any way?
Yeah, it is similar. I mean, Ali's career was essentially over. He got offered an awful lot of money to, quote, fight this Japanese wrestler. The event turned out to be a farce, with the normally quiescent Japanese fans booing. And it wouldn't be a shock to me if this event turned out something like that as well. I mean, it's clear to me that there are probably 10,000 boxers who could beat McGregor and 10,000 mixed martial arts fighters who could beat Mayweather, depending on whether the event is a boxing match or a martial arts match. And they're two different sports that have a vague similarity to them.
Larry,
soccer and football, for example. So nobody would, maybe somebody would want to match Manchester United against the Green Bay Packers, and maybe the country would want to see it. But what would they see?
Well, Larry, here's the first thing that sprung into my attention, and maybe this is why I don't get this. MMA is drawing 2 and 3 times the pay-per-view rate of boxing. They're drawing better crowds for their live shows. But on this, it looks like they're going to come up on the short end of the stick. Why would you do it? It would seem like this would help boxing more than it would help MMA. And the MMA fighter, as you just said, is clearly the underdog. And there are many trainers, boxing trainers, who say he won't make it past the third round. What, MMA didn't need to do this.
Look, it's just about money. Two guys who do more scrapping outside the ring than in the ring, I guess. The entertainment value of a Mayweather fight always ended as soon as the first bell rang. But they're both brilliant at building up expectations for an event. And hey, it's America. Anybody could put up a tent and charge a price. And if people think they're going to get something and are willing to pay, go ahead. Nobody's going to stop them. It is kind of revealing of the boxing commissions in Las Vegas that they would sanction this as a fight between a guy who is regarded as the best pure boxer of his time against a man who's never fought a professional boxing contest. It's there was a guy named, I think his name was Ron Stander from Iowa, who once somehow got a match with Joe Frazier as a tune-up before a big Frazier fight. And Ron Stander's wife said, this is like putting in a jalopy against a Mercedes-Benz. And that's the way it turned out. So I'm philosophical about this. There have been times when other athletes have mixed and matched and try to make some money. And for those people who think they'll have some fun at it, go for it. You're wrong, but go for it. You're a sucker.
Well, Larry, this morning, as I said, when I first heard that this had been signed, the first thing that popped into my head was Inoki Ali. I went back. I didn't look at the fight, but what it was, for people who don't remember the Ali-Inoki thing, Ali was, he had boxing gloves on. Inoki did not. This was not trying to make a professional wrestler a boxer. That is what this is trying to do. As you said, they're taking an MMA guy who's never had a professional fight and putting his hands in gloves, limiting what he would do. In my opinion, if it was MMA versus boxing, clearly the boxer would lose. He would be at a tremendous handicap. But that's not what this is. So,
you know, when Ali fought Inoki, they were negotiating how the fight would be fought practically until the first bell. And it was supposed to be some mix of boxing and wrestling. And this is a boxing contest. My guess is it'll end after a few rounds on a foul. McGregor will be frustrated. He'll get in a clinch. He'll drag Mayweather to the floor. The referee will signal that the fight is over. The fighters will collect their money. The paid fans will collect their memories and go home.
I want to start here and work our way forward a little bit, because you were around during the Inoki Ali thing. Now, if people remember this, as crazy as this seems, Ali, before the fight, as a, I guess, to try to get some interest in the fight, went to a wrestling event in New York. And he got into the ring during a match. Now, we all know, we didn't know then, well, maybe we did know, but then we knew, we didn't know that professional wrestling was predetermined, let's put it that way. Ali gets in the ring, and a wrestler by the name of Gorilla Monsoon Airplane spins him as promotion for this fight. Freddie Blassie, who had been a popular wrestler in Japan, and also here in the United States, came up with the term pencil neck geek, was in his 60s at that point in managing wrestlers. He managed Muhammad Ali and went on the David Letterman and Johnny Carson shows as a manager. Freddie Blassie and Gorilla Monsoon later said this was fixed. This was never going, this was not a legitimate match. Not legitimate from the point of it's just stupid. It was a show. It was a play. Do you believe that, Larry?
Probably. I also saw Andre the Giant, the 7'4" Frenchman, wrestle Chuck Wepner before a main event in New York. It was an outdoor fight. I forget the main event. But Andre Giant lifted up Chuck Wepner, who was about 6'4 or 5 and 230, and just heaved him into the stands. And that was the end of the show. You know, I'm a cynic about this and a skeptic, and I shrug my shoulders and say, folks, if that's the way you want to spend your money and you got nothing better to do, go for it.
Well, the final question I want to ask in regard to this, well, I have two, actually, but the setup there was the Inoki thing. Now let's go to Conor McGregor and Mayweather. Now, at the time, if you had said that that was a fix, they would have said no. It was a publicity stunt. Is it possible? Because like I said, I just don't understand why MMA would do this. Because now even Dana White, the owner of the MMA, is saying Mayweather's going to lose. He's even getting involved.
One reason may be, Scott, that MMA has had some problems. Okay? This could generate some money. You earlier said that they routinely outdrew pay-per-view. I don't know the actual numbers. I know 90,000 people went to see the big heavyweight fight in London about a month ago, and they sold many pay-per-views over there. We tend to look at sports as what's happened between the Atlantic and the Pacific, only in our country. But I know they were bought for billions of dollars by a private company. And that company has found that the networks are offering far, far less than imagined for the sale of the product. I don't know what that means. I'm not equating the various claims of pay-per-view events to one another. Though I think that MMAs are vastly exaggerated and that the fighters get vastly less money than prize fighters do. But those are the things that I hear, and that might make it a big event. And, you know, their stars come and go. Conor McGregor has a record of, what did you say, 27-4?
I believe so.
Means to me he's beaten four times. Ain't no stars in boxing who've been beaten four times lately. So, though, you know, a year ago, wasn't there a woman who was the star? So I don't know how all of that works. I don't know what their fans expect. I think they expect sort of something like choreographed wrestling with their hometown favorite or the star to, is supposed to win. I'm not altogether sure of that, but they have a going concern that generates a lot of money, and people who come to an MMA show expect something to happen, and frequently it does. But in a match between an MMA guy boxing a boxer, ain't much going to happen for the MMA guy. And that's been proven the other way around also. Notable fighters like James Toney, who were desperate for a payday, have tried MMA and been dispensed with.
Well, that's why the question comes to me. Is it we don't know, but is it a possibility, because of MMA's troubles and boxing's troubles, that, and a pension for money, which most people have, is it possible this is a stage? This is a play? They're not going in there to win. They already know what's going to happen?
Anything is possible. You know, I think Mayweather, by being able to get this displayed as a boxing contest and winning his 50th fight with no defeats, doesn't want to give up this opportunity because he wants the opportunity to emblazon himself as the first man to go 50-0. Like, this is a real fight. But I'm sure there will be lots of conspiracy theories afterwards. That's what these shows are made of. I think conspiratorialists are generally stupid, and I think a lot of stupid people will go to watch this, and if something unexpected happens, they'll believe it's a conspiracy, and they may be right.
Well, it's interesting, Larry, because, and I hate to put you on the spot with this question, but earlier on you said this is how you believe it will end. I know we don't know, but if you were a betting man and you were calling a bookie today, do you think this is predetermined? Do you think this is a publicity stunt?
I have no knowledge of that. I was suggesting that out of frustration, McGregor would try to get into a grappling contest with Mayweather, and it could deteriorate from there.
The aftermath of this, because honestly, I'm with you. Here's what I see, Larry. I see it them both getting some good shots in, and then I see McGregor, which people would believe, pick up or try to touch Mayweather and get disqualified, and that's that. It doesn't hurt either one of them. Mayweather gets his 50th win, and McGregor doesn't get knocked out.
You know, probably there is some kind of secret a code or communication with the fans that they would be willing to accept that their guy didn't get beat and it wasn't a fair fight and all the rest of that. And so they could come up with their reputations intact.
There have been a lot of matches. They're not main events, but there were a lot of matches. I'll give you an example. When Mike Tyson got out of prison, his first fight, the pay-per-view numbers were huge. It was the main event of the card, and he knocked the guy out very quickly. But nobody doubted that that was a boxing match. Now, Larry, is this, in your mind, a publicity stunt or a mismatched boxing match?
It's a circus. It's a sucker is born every day. It's not a real boxing match. Maybe it'll go down in the record book as such. But we all know what it is. And we're not as dumb as we look, as Ollie used to say.
Do you think the numbers will be good?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for several months I've been questioned all over the place whether the fight was going to be happen and was going to happen, and now I'm getting comments about the fights happening, and for the, you know, for the casual fan, it's a freak show.
Will this hurt boxing? Will this hurt MMA?
Probably not. I mean, as I've often said of boxing, you can't save it and you can't kill it.
I just, it's an interesting thing, and I wonder exactly why it's happening, but I think you've given us a lot of reasons as to why that is. But honestly, and I'm not a betting person myself, but it's just a little too perfect. It's just a little too, you know, it wasn't ever...
There's no great mystery about why it's happening. It's happening because they can make it happen, and they think that hundreds of millions of dollars will come into the jackpot. So I get it. I mean, it's hard to resist if you can pull it off.
If they are able to pull it off, do you think it'll be harder in this age than it was 40 years ago to keep something like this hidden? If I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but if there is some chicanery, do you, I mean, with cell phones and bloggers and all that, back then people didn't know. Today I think they
People... you may be right. I didn't even bother to watch Ali and Oki. I saw it years later on a replay because I knew what it was and I didn't care. Could it make it more difficult? Listen, when I was sports editor of the Philadelphia Daily News, my boxing writer, the great Jack McKinney, got whiff of an undercard show, an undercard fight that was going to be put on at a famous little club show in Philadelphia, the Cambria. And the headline over the first article was, "He called me a lousy bricklayer." This is two guys who had a fight on a job. The headline over the second article the next day was, "He is a lousy bricklayer." Well, they fought 3 2-minute rounds. The fire department had to come out because the lines were so long of people wanting to go to the show. And we had hundreds of calls that night in the office about what the result of the fight was. Two guys who had never had a fight before. In a boxing match. So, you know what? Every once in a while, some promotional genius finds a way to make something like this happen. And it becomes compelling to some people.
After this encounter, which I think we all think Mayweather will win, what is his legacy? What is his true legacy with things like this and picking his fights and claiming to be undefeated? What's the book on Mayweather going to read 40 years from now?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody will bother to write a book on Mayweather. But he was a sublime, pure boxer craftsman. The entertainment stopped once the first bell rang. And he was a very shrewd promoter who achieved the highest levels of the game during his time, primarily because there were no serious American heavyweights around who usually dominated the big money scene. But he's very smart in promoting himself and marketing himself, and it doesn't shock me that he would end his career this way.
And just to give credence to the other side, because we've been a little one-sided, but that it looks that way. What
They're
if Conor
taking the money and running?
I
don't know who's controlling that promotion from that side, but guys like McGregor normally don't get anywhere near what elite boxers do because of the way the financial setup is in MMA. They devote so much of their money to marketing, which has been a very shrewd business model. So here's a kid who went out and who was nervy enough to go out on his own and try to make enough money for his great-grandchildren to retire on.
Well, let me say this for the MMA fans out there, because I know there are a lot of them. Let's say it's not fixed. Let's say it's legitimate. What if McGregor beats him? Is it possible? What would that mean?
Well, it would probably mean a rematch. I don't know. I'm not that smart. They will say that Mayweather got old. He hadn't fought in 2 years. He underestimated McGregor, and he got caught by a lucky punch. Those are the things that you think you'd hear.
Would that be as big as Douglas knocking out Tyson?
I don't. Not in the boxing world. In the boxing world, this is a freak show, as I've said. And in the world out there of people who watch MMA, it would probably prove to them that they have the better athletes and the smarter promoters.
If you were writing a sports column today, would you include MMA?
What do you mean by that? Would I cover MMA events?
Yeah, would you list winners and losers? Do you consider that a sport?
I think of it as a street fight. And if there is a street fight and I was walking along the street and it looked like a pretty good fight, I'd stop and watch. And if it was a real good street fight, I might even try to write something about it. I don't think it's generally fixed, choreographed the way wrestling is, which is like having soap operas with wrestling and. But it's not on my radar. I'm too old for it. I think that there's enough around with baseball and football and basketball and other good stuff that I would leave it to the younger believers.
Who is boxing's star right now? Who is the guy?
Well, I would say the guy that's the biggest boxing star is Joshua, the British heavyweight, who just stopped Klitschko in a very exciting 11-round fight, one of the best fights, heavyweight fights in 25 years. But there are a number of Americans who are emerging, some very good American fighters. There's a huge event that's going to outdo any MMA event, trust me, in pay-per-views in the fall, involving Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin. We have some excellent welterweights, a kid named Keith Thurman, another kid named Errol Spence. There has actually been an awakening in boxing over the last 6 months, which started in Britain, which is a very rich ground for boxing, where boxing originally originated, and which has amateur and regional and all other kinds of boxing going on. So it's enjoying a little spurt. I don't know if this counts in that spurt. I don't think boxing people do. But there was just a really very good light heavyweight championship fight just the other night between Andre Ward, the last American to win a gold medal, and the Russian, outstanding Russian, Sergey Kovalev. There are some real good prospects in that division. So, again, as I've said, you can't save boxing and you can't kill it. Foreign boxers come here from Mexico, from Russia, from Britain, from Asia. Manny Pacquiao is still out there with a fight coming up. And it just so happens that the stars aligned in a way that this has been a very good year.
Do you miss being a part of it, as you were, to the extent that you were?
Well, Scott, I've been asked if I'd rather be retired or working on the boxing, and what I say is both.
You know, Larry, it's interesting. When I announced you were going to be on the show today, somebody said, Larry is still as crisp as ever. We hear him in interviews. He does YouTube things. Still looks the same, in great shape. Why did your relationship with HBO come to an end?
Well, I had been there for 35 years, and there were changes happening. The changes are still happening. And there was a new head of the department who was brought in from the outside, and he didn't particularly like my act because he was trying to negotiate some contracts with Mayweather, and he didn't think Mayweather and I got along well enough, and he wanted me to lower the temperature on my act. And I told him that, look, I hit in the middle of the lineup. I don't know how to bunt. And I just decided to leave in advance of the end of my contract, and they paid me off. And they went merrily along on their way, but now it seems that they have pulled back big time in financing big fights. They get big fights on pay-per-view, but not on HBO. And you're going to read them in an announcement in the near future that's going to supported boxing the way they did. They make a lot of noise about it, but they don't get the big matches. And they may be phasing out boxing in some way. And I was a part of the phase out, and that's okay. They treated me well for 35 years. I wasn't going to go crying out the door. I had my freedom to do what I wanted, and I had no complaints.
When I look back at your highlight reel, of course, there are many things that stick out. Of course, Buster Douglas's call, this makes Cinderella look like a sad story. Of course, the Mayweather dust-up that went viral at the end. And I can't even remember the fight, but where you grabbed a hold of somebody and had to throw him out of the shot when you were doing the interview. Did anybody from HBO ever come to you, maybe in the Buster Douglas case, and say, wow, that was great? Or in the Mayweather and the throwing the guy out of the shot picture and say, you shouldn't have done that. Were you ever reprimanded?
You know, I had the good fortune of being of having a boss named Seth Abraham for most of the years that I was there. And he once said to me, you know, you make my job harder. By which he meant, if I would say something negative about a fighter or poke fun at a promoter or some such thing, they would be on the phone Monday morning complaining to him, right? So that made his job a little harder. And he just keep doing it.
And
he wasn't worried about how it might affect negotiations. Because a lot of fighters, once they sign a multiple fight deal, they just assume that everybody loves them and is going to say nothing but good stuff about them if they don't perform. The new guy who came in didn't want to deal with that. And I had to find myself constantly defying him with what I was doing on the job. If you've got a minute, we went to El Paso, Texas. The city almost didn't want the fight put on because of rival drug gangs across the river in Mexico. The concession was that beer would not be sold at the event. And meanwhile, one of the fighters was near, who was then in the process of getting married to the daughter of Guzman, the head of one of the drug cartels. So there was all that stuff mixed up. That's, to me, prime stuff. It's the story of boxing. The characters, the colorful characters, the hustlers and rustlers who gather around to make it happen. And they came to me and said they had decided they didn't want to discuss any of this. Well, when the show started, I discussed it. And then the following week, I went up to the creative boss here in Los Angeles and said, listen, I don't want to spend the rest of my life having to defy these guys. Let's just end my contract and I'll go away. And that's how it worked out. Some bosses don't have a tolerance for the talent to just fly off in directions that conceivably make his job harder. So, and by the way, they wound up losing Mayweather anyway after I left.
Well,
you know, so it goes. I've been a lone wolf act all my life. Just oblivious to, just on the feeling that if they hired me, they knew what they were getting. And most of the time, I had their support. And I look back fondly on my years at HBO as a writer, covering Wimbledon, covering other games and stuff. You can't make up my job.
We do have about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to ask this because
I don't hear you.
We have about 5 minutes left, and I want to get this in. The Mayweather thing, where you and he got into a little squabble after the fight, if I were 50 years younger, I'd kick your keister, which everybody sees. At the time, I think I interviewed you the next day, and I remember we talked, you were still with HBO at the time, and we talked and you said, well, management hadn't really done anything. Was there ever any fallout from management from that? Did they...
Yeah, well, there was. There was a reflection of the anxiety. At the time, Mayweather's contract was expiring or near expiring, and he was the hottest property in the game, and they were in a multi-fight contract talks, and so they were nervous. The people I worked for originally, the people who really imagined HBO as this edgy new force in the world of television, they loved it. But as companies get older, just like all of us, they get more conservative. And they start to want to conserve what they have rather than get what they don't. And so, as I mentioned to you, that was one incident. And I just decided, you know what, I've done this long enough. I'm not capable of being somebody they don't want. So I'll get somebody new, and I'll go off into the wild blue yonder and see what happens.
With a few minutes left, just to move away from sports for 1 second, because I know you pay attention to what's going on in the world, and a former boxing promoter, Donald Trump, I think we all know happened to become president. Last Sunday, on one of the morning shows with Chris Wallace, I think it was the Fox Morning Show, Donald Trump's lawyer was on saying he wasn't under investigation and is under investigation in the same interview. Just with 4 minutes left, what's your take on Washington? Healthcare is about to be changed. The president is doing what do you make of Washington?
There are a lot of, as I once said to you, it seemed sad to me that so many people were in such bad shape that they felt that a New York City con artist was gonna put them right, was gonna make their lives better. I never understood that. I'm not a guy, an elite guy, who looks down on the flyover country. I've spent a lot of time in flyover country myself. I like people in the Midwest. But it was what it was, and that's our system. And they don't seem to care that they have a president who is a Tweety bird in every sense of that term, and who brings the ire of government down on him, and who's shown that he doesn't know how things work, and who has gone back on virtually everything he said he was going to do the first minute in office, and they still love him. Well, they think that the elites are out to get them, the smart people. Smart people don't like Donald Trump. There must be something wrong with the smart people. I guess now I've become an elite.
Do you think, as a media person, the media is treating him correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, they've treated... Well, look what Obama went through. He was a communist. He was Hitler. He was God knows what. They handed him off 10% unemployment and the economy imploding. And things got better. Not as good as they had been, but certainly a lot better than the deal he was off. He started with, and he conducted himself with class. And if you like the way Donald Trump has conducted himself, you think he is the image of a president that you want to show your young son, this is how a president acts and so on. Well, you got him. And I'm worried about the people who need to be worried about. I think we're a better country when we live up to our values and try to help the people who can't help themselves, help them at least get on their feet and able to get a bandage on their, on the cut on their hand. So I'm prepared for the worst. I mean, can you tell me how it goes over in Ohio that we've suddenly stopped relations with Cuba? I mean, how did we help ourselves? How did we make ourselves a greater country by suddenly cutting off relations with Cuba?
You know, honestly, it doesn't seem, for some reason, and I think I'm speaking here for the people in Ohio and in the Midwest, what he does, no matter what the issue is, it's the outsiders are out to get him, so anything he does, we must support.
Well, I think that's what I've read, that it's not what Trump does, it's what the anti-Trump people do, and it's like they feel viscerally connected to him, and it's how they feel they've been treated themselves. I don't know who's treated them that way. I had a daughter who went to school in the Midwest. I went to school in the Midwest. I hitchhiked and back and forth across the Midwest in my youth. I like Midwesterners and had many friends. Why do they think I don't like them? I have no idea. But maybe there are undercurrents of things going on, like automation, that are taking jobs away. Like foreigners who are willing to do jobs that Americans aren't. Immigrants. It's these things get a bit complicated, and people trying to figure out how far the social network should go and how it benefits them. I don't have all the answers. All I know is that Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others.
With 15 seconds left, Larry, one word answer. Do you believe Donald Trump will finish out his term?
Well, going on what's happened so far, probably. But maybe he isn't that physically fit or has the profile of somebody who wants to deal with the slings and arrows and of those who don't think he's doing such a great job. I don't know. Um, I think we're getting some things that people aren't expecting. And that will affect the next election.
Always a great pal to me and one of my favorite people to talk to, Larry Merchant. Larry, stay well and until next time.
Thanks so much, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. And we're going to break. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Rosa and Rocco's Italian Kitchen and Steakhouse, where Thursday night address 6-